5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Didn't get many walk-ins then.
No. This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this.
So I don't know if any of you guys have ever heard of this, but Neil and I were watching a show and there was this joke in it about seat sniffing. Basically when a person, I think it's in particular a child, would run up to a seat after a person's got up from it and sniff to get their scent from it. And I was like, that's not even funny. That's just fucking disgusting. And Neil turned to me and went, what are you talking about? I went, that's nasty. It's gross. And he went, I know, I used to do it when I was a kid.
Everyone now, did.
Neil, do you want to explain yourself? What?
Everyone did it.
Who? Who was everyone?
All my mates. Anyone I knew. Like, if it's like they said on the show, and that's true. If you weren't doing it, it was been done to you.
I have never.
But there was rules as well.
I have never sniffed a seat after someone has got up from it. And I've never witnessed this. I didn't know it was a thing. Do you want to explain the rules?
You can't do it to immediate family. Because that's disgusting.
This was actually said in the program we were watching.
Yeah.
So you're trying to tell me they were dead on?
Yes.
Where did you get this from? Did your older brother do it?
I think it's just something you do as a kid, naturally.
No. Not every child. I never did this. As far as I'm aware, my brother never did this. I've never seen any of my cousins do this. Any friends, I've never seen them do it.
I don't know then.
I think this is perverse. If I'm honest with you, like...
Maybe it didn't make it to Ireland.
If any of our listeners did this as a child, or if they have kids who they've witnessed do this, please let me know, because I am shook over this.
I will be shocked if no one comes back saying, I did that as a kid, or my kids do it.
I think this is bizarre behaviour, but you look at it as it's just a phase that kids go through.
Yes.
Now, I don't have kids, so maybe I'm just like out of the loop, I don't understand it, but...
It's just as normal as a kid throwing a tantrum in the shops.
I don't think it is. This is concerning behaviour to me. If I saw my child do it, I think I would pull them up over it. But you would, like, if we had a kid, you would tell me to calm down. It's perfectly normal.
Yes.
I don't know.
Just let them be. They're not harming anyone.
But why do you want to smell the essence of a person's arsehole?
It's getting a sense of who they are. See if their ass stinks? I don't know. I can't answer that.
You can, because you used to do it.
Yeah, when I was a kid.
Do you have any notion of why you used to do it?
No. It's just, like, it's a part of nature. Dogs
is
do it. Like,
dogs do it. So you at 30 at 35 years of age you're standing by it that seat sniffing is perfectly acceptable.
See, you're under the impression but I don't do it now.
I genuinely hope you're joking right now.
Seriously, it's a normal thing for a kid to do. It's abnormal. Right, it's abnormal, but you didn't.
Is it?
I think so. 100%.
Yeah.
Your seat will have been sniffed. At some point in your life, some little kid has ran over and smelt where your ass has been. Fresh.
That is the most outrageous thing. I am genuinely stunned by this.
Like, I don't think I ever did it in public. I think it'd have to be in a house, not my own house. It could be anyone's house.
If you're at your mate's house, if their, like, sibling got up, you'd run over and sniff their seat.
Yes. Or if someone came to visit our house, that'd be the main one.
Did anyone witness you doing this? Like, what did
you... Must have done.
Did you try to keep it under wraps? Was this kind of, like, a secret behaviour?
I might have. I don't know. I was very young.
Yeah.
You're talking like 3-4 year old.
I can't imagine your parents okaying it. But, you know, like I said, if there's any parents listening who they've witnessed their child doing this or...
Oh, maybe, if my dad saw me doing it, look at that!
But please, as parents, let us know how you react to if your child has done it / how you would react if they were to do it. Because I need answers here. I don't think this is normal.
Yeah, if my dad saw me doing it, it'd attack me with rolled up newspaper like a dog.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing other people's tales of seat sniffing.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
But we'll get on with episode. What are we covering today?
Today we are going to be talking about body farms.
I don't think I even need to guess this. You mean a cemetery?
No. Body farms. Farms of bodies.
Okay. For like fertilizing and stuff?
No. I'm absolutely stunned you didn't just come out with body oddy oddy there.
Body oddy 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 oddy.
Yeah. Every time I was writing the word body, it's just that song was just looping around. So to start with, what are body farms and why do we have them?
Fertilised ground, I'd have thought.
No. No, it's not literally farming.
Why do they call it a farm then?
It's an open, but you're going to find out.
Okay.
To put it simply, a body farm is a facility where bodies are sent to decompose. The purpose of a body farm is for researchers to get a better understanding of how decomposition works against a variety of different factors. The study of decomposition is called taphonomy. This is incredibly important when it comes to estimating the time frame of death and being able to identify a person. Factors such as ancestry, sex, and age. For example, when it comes to skeletal remains, a male would tend to have a larger skeleton and higher bone density compared to a female.
Do you know, before it gets to the bone part,
mm-hmm.
say if you have someone morbidly obese,
mm-hmm.
does it take longer for them to decompose than someone who bag of bones, like skinny?
So if a person has a larger body mass, they will actually decompose faster.
Oh.
Mm. So if you remember from our last episode about, you know, the stages of death and about how your body starts to liquefy, there's more to liquefy.
Okay.
Do you get what I'm saying? It kind yeah. of affects it more so. So like we said, a male would tend to have a larger skeleton than that of a female, but females' hip bones would be wider to allow for childbirth. So there's a few different factors that can distinguish between male and female.
I think men can have wide hips and all.
No, of course they can. But generally speaking, women's hip bones are kind of more flat and kind of spaced out, kind of more,
okay.
I suppose, winged
yeah.
compared to a male's. So that's kind of the difference between male and females. But with a child's skeleton, you can't really tell. It's a child. There's not really any distinguishing elements. And as we get older, our bodies begin to deteriorate, and you can see that with our bones. The skull is the only part that can give an indication of ancestry, which is generally broken down into three categories: African, Asian, and European. Although this can be flawed with room for error. This field has been predominantly white men going back through the years. And with the likes of Alice Herdlicka, an anthropologist who believed in eugenics.
What's that?
It's basically believing in the elimination of quote-unquote undesirables. What they believe to be undesirable type of people, basically, whether it's physical appearance, mental state, or their morals.
So a racist piece of shit.
Exactly. He was an absolute shy-talk, or... to quote the women of Fruit Loops, the caucasity of this man. I do also want to bring that up. During our episode on John List, when I was talking about the forensic sculptor,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was watching Forensic Files for part of that information, and that is from the 90s, and they use the term race. Now, it's much more accurate to use the term ancestry in terms of this.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to correct that. The first body farm can be credited to Dr. William M. Bass. In 1981, William Bass set up the Forensic Anthropology Centre, the world's first body farm. Originally within a 1.3-acre space, it is now increased to a 2.5-acre area of land located at the University of Tennessee.
Well, I can tell you now, I won't be living around there.
Oh, don't worry. There were a few concerns from residents of the area.
I bet there fucking were.
After a considerable amount of time spent working in this field, working with investigators, and one particular case in 1977, he finally said, look, I need the space and resources to further study and, you know, be able to give a more accurate time of death. So what happened in that case in 1977? Was that investigators originally believed that a body had been hidden in a Civil War grave.
Oh.
Yeah. And when tasked with estimating a time of death, William believed the range to be between a few months and a year. Now, the reality was that the body was that of Colonel William Shy, who had been killed in battle 113 years prior.
A tad different.
Just slightly off on the estimation
by
there.
By a century.
So the suspects were actually grave robbers and not murderers. The method of embalming used and the fact that he had been buried in an iron casket had hindered William's assessment. So with his estimation being so far off, he knew it just wasn't good enough and that something had to be done to improve our understanding of decomposition. He said of his work, I wasn't walking down the street one day and a light shined and a voice said, you need to start a body farm. I worked on it over time and there's a lot of hard work by my graduate students to make this happen. So that's kind of the origin story of how body farms came to be.
Can you imagine the fucking pong coming off of that?
I mean, I really like this guy because he's not even saying like, oh, it was my idea. I did this whole thing. He's like, my students made this happen.
Yeah.
And it was through my error. You know, it was to further something. It wasn't like, I have this great idea, lads. Let's just scatter bodies everywhere.
Yeah.
You know? So where do these bodies come from? Unfortunately, it's not unusual for bodies to be left unclaimed. And unclaimed bodies have been used for research on the farms.
Yeah, I understand there'd be a lot, but surely there's not that many unclaimed. Completely unclaimed.
Actually, there's quite a lot. In fact, thousands of bodies go unclaimed every year in the US. About 1% of bodies are not claimed, which it doesn't...
Oh yeah, because homeless people.
Well, it doesn't seem a lot, but for a bit of perspective, 3.4 million people died in America in 2020. And of those deaths, that's 34,000 unclaimed.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you also have to factor in how many of these bodies were not just unclaimed, but unidentified.
Oh, okay.
Now, those figures are thought to be on the lower end. People who work in the industry have stated that they believe it could be as high as 3%. A part of this could be down to the cost of a funeral and burial, which is just a very sad reality.
Yeah. Like I said to you, just throw me in a ditch. So you could take me there and just chuck me in a ditch.
Well, it is another great reason to donate. It's not only a lower cost option, but it's incredibly beneficial to scientific research. Now, with that being said, I'm unsure if the use of unclaimed bodies is still in practice at any facilities. And of course, there's the obvious question there of ethics to consider. My general understanding on the matter is that the bodies used in the research are now donated. Whether it be the person's wishes that they be donated to science or that their next of kin has made the decision after death. Which, donations after death?
Yeah.
Obviously after death. Sorry.
Didn't get many walk-ins then.
No. Donations made by next of kin, they make up about 50% of the Forensic Anthropology Centre's donations. There are currently over 4,000 people who've chosen to donate their body to research, and they receive about 100 donations a year. They currently have 1,800 bodies in their possession.
Yeah, that's going to stink.
So once the bodies get there, what happens? They conduct all sorts of research there. Basically, bodies will be placed in various different locations and positions and left to decompose. The different stages of death can then be studied. One of the things that researchers will be paying attention to is insect activity. Insects are a big indicator of how long a body has been there for.
Now, maggots.
I was just about to say, maggots are one of the first things that come to mind when you think of death and decay and decomp.
Worms. Because you always see like worms going through the eye socket of a skull and stuff.
See, when you say that, I get more of like this kind of like...
I think I'm thinking of Scooby-Doo though.
Yeah, like a more like Halloween-esque type of image. But no, maggots are a very, you know, immediate image that comes to mind.
Yeah, because they're like laying their eggs and...
Well, exactly. For maggots to do their thing, they have to first hatch.
Yeah.
So flies in particular, blowflies, or I think more common over here, we would know them as blue bottles, are usually the first insects on the scene. So these flies are attracted by body fluids and gases that begin to release from the body. Once there, they lay their eggs, and the maggots will hatch within 24 to 48 hours, where they will then eat away at the soft tissue, such as the skin, muscles, and organs.
Lovely.
Yeah, maggots actually have hooks within their mouth in order to scoop up any fluids that have oozed.
I've seen them on, like, National Geographic. How the ants at same, I think.
How they kind of gather it up.
Yeah. It's like they've got little arms in the gob.
Mm. I've actually got a fun fact for you here, Neil. Maggots breathe through their arses.
Do they?
They do. I thought you'd enjoy that. You previously brought up something about turtles and their arses.
Yeah, they breathe through their assholes.
Yeah, maggots and turtles, not so different. It's not until the later stages of decomposition that beetles will appear. These are the lads that will clean the bones of any flesh. And that can take anywhere from a few days to a few weeks. And some of these beetles will actually feed on the maggots themselves. That's because the maggots have already fed, so they're basically just going to eat the maggot and get the maggot and anything they've already consumed.
Okay, circle of life.
It is indeed. So, being able to understand at what stages the insects appear and how long it takes for them to feed is crucial in helping to determine a time frame for how long a person has been dead. Another factor they have to study is how environmental factors affect a body, or possibly how our bodies can affect the environment, you know, as our enzymes in our bodies break down.
Yeah.
Like we mentioned earlier, bodies will be left in various different places. For example, if a body is underground, this will slow down decomp, as bacteria is going to struggle to thrive without adequate oxygen levels.
So I take it they'd try it like 2 foot down, 6 foot down.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about this place. It's learning.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to try so many different scenarios and things just to see how it can affect.
So I wonder how much they'll deep dive into it. So like, obviously there's the different depths, but then are they doing it where it's soil over the top, concrete over the top?
Yes. This is the thing. It's so fascinating and it's so important. So we can have all these different scenarios of how a person could be left, you know, from different types of crimes and things.
Yeah.
It's so important. So let's say a body is buried underground. It could take 40 to 50 years before all of the flesh has decayed.
Really?
Yeah. Whereas a body left out in the open will deteriorate at a much quicker rate. Or if a body is submerged in water, it will decompose at twice the speed of a body just left out in the open air.
40 to 50 years?
Yeah.
Jesus.
There's also skin slippage or degloving.
Brilliant.
Not liking the sound of that, no.
Slippage. No, no thanks.
It's not as bad as it sounds, okay?
Degloving.
Okay, well, it is as bad as it sounds, but when you break it down, okay?
But do you know what pops into my head when you say degloving?
Go on.
Ace Ventura with a glove. You know, when he rolls the car and it lands in the space perfectly.
Yeah, no, it's a slightly different situation. So this is where the epidermis starts to separate from the dermis. So it does sound horrific, but it's actually what our skin is meant to do. It's meant to shed. This is just at a much more intense, accelerated type of situation, you know? Bones, on the other hand, will take a hell of a lot longer to break down, possibly even hundreds of years.
But how does that work when people keep finding Viking bones and...
This is what the research they're doing is and how it can preserve or how it breaks down and what have you. It depends on the type of soil it's buried in, the temperature that they're in, all these different factors, you know?
Because they found Roman bones, aren't they?
Well, if you look at bog bodies, which we will be covering at some point, they are insanely well preserved.
Okay.
And that's why we need this research so we can understand how it affects a body.
Yeah.
The University of Texas has the largest collection of skeletons in the US.
Why?
Well, once the flesh and everything has decayed away, they can then use the bones for further study.
Oh, see, I'd got it in my head, but they were like on display like a museum. So it's like, that's a right thigh bone.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it is
that's
partially.
That's his kneecap.
I'm sure it is partially on display. Yeah, it could well be.
A thigh bone's a thigh bone.
Fra Diablo's the Fra Diablo. But I mean, even having to clean these bones is, you know, very detailed work. They will have to use just something simple like...
Pressure washer.
No, absolutely fucking not. They will have to use something like water and not a toothbrush, but that type of a brush to delicately clean.
Oh, like they do on archaeological digs for dinosaurs and shit. It's like...
A fossil brush. You're on, like...
It's like a pastry brush.
Yeah.
That's what they look like.
It's that kind of a thing because they have to be so careful not to destroy anything, but maintain the integrity, you know?
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So you wouldn't go with pressure washer?
No, no. It wouldn't be your best move.
Get it done quicker.
Temperature is another big element at play. Heat will speed up decomp and cool temperatures will slow it down. Same as we saw in the Marilyn Rinn case. If we were to compare decomposition in Florida to, say, Alaska, it's going to look very, very different.
I bet it fucking would.
Have you noticed that everything comes back around to Alaska?
Yeah, I'm staying away from that place.
This podcast has really turned into just anything and everything about Alaska.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say in the past 10 episodes... nearly every episode Alaska's come up.
I mean, even we did an oddity about a woman in Michigan and that managed to mention Alaska.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, like we mentioned earlier, bodies are left in various different locations and positions to replicate scenarios and where and how a body could be found.
So you know on this university ground and all the other ones, do they have a spot for water to put bodies underwater?
I'd imagine they'd have like a man-made lake or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then have one with like salt water.
Yeah, so probably, like, yeah. See, Neil, you're getting into it now. You're thinking of all the different possibilities.
Well, first thing what popped into my head was having a body upright in the ground.
Yeah.
What about like body stacking to see?
Possibly. I mean, they may have already done that. And if not, you send them an email. Go, look, lads, I'm very concerned about this. Can you please look into it?
I've got the brain for this. Mm. I will think of some fucked up positions for you to put them in, what you would never have thought of.
Bodies may be laid naked or they might be clothed. Some are placed in the trunk of cars or, you know, possibly even a mass grave situation.
So you could go on this university ground and there'd be a car there with a body in the boot.
Yes, because that's how a body could have been left. You know, from a crime, if someone had been kidnapped and left in a boot.
Can anyone just walk onto this university?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
These facilities can also be used to help train police officers and cadaver dogs.
Well, and forensics, because forensics have got to learn somewhere.
Well, that's what's happening on the body farm. Students are studying this and learning about it.
Yeah.
It is so vital that we have these facilities in different locations. We need to know how decomp is affected by warmer or cooler temperatures, different levels of humidity. How is a damp, more swampy area going to compare against an extremely dry, more desert-like climate?
So I wonder how much in depth they go. Are they like, right, so a body in a bomber jacket decomposes quicker than one in a leather jacket?
Yes, absolutely.
Bollocks. There's no way it goes that far.
They are absolutely looking at how... Neil's jumping the gun. I have this written down ahead. But it's great. No, you're absolutely right. They are looking at how different materials will affect.
No, but they can't do every material.
Over time, they can. Give them enough time and resources.
And enough bodies.
Enough body-oddy-oddies.
Well, that's what you mean by resources, I'd have thought.
Even the soil type, or as Neil has just said, if a body is covered in a certain type of material, whether it be cotton or plastic or what did you say, leather?
Leather, bomber jacket, nylon. What if it were a cyclist in the fucking Lycra?
So, like Neil has given you all these wonderful suggestions, you know, depending on the type of material, that's probably going to speed up the process of decomposition due to it retaining heat and moisture.
The only reason why I was asking as well is because, like, if you think of, let's say someone who rides an Harley, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be wearing, like, leather, but then the jeans might be made of Kevlar,
mm-hmm.
which Kevlar is, like, fucking extreme material.
It's like man-made leather type of thing, isn't it?
Kevlar?
Yeah. Wouldn't you say?
Kind of. It's really tough.
Mm. Is it like a combination of like plastic and leather, would you say? Is that the most accurate description?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're absolutely wrong, but I'll give it to you.
I don't know how to explain it, but yeah.
But it's the type of material that you would wear when you're riding a bike or something. Something to protect you.
Well, speedway riders wear Kevlars. But, like, you can buy Kevlar jeans
mm-hmm.
for riding motorcycles and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, but they cost a fucking fortune.
Yeah.
So, there's just so many different aspects to consider. And thankfully, there are now more body farm locations.
There's one in Ireland, in Dublin.
There isn't, unfortunately. There are now 8 different facilities located in different universities across the United States. Tennessee, North Carolina, 2 in Texas, Illinois, Colorado, Florida, and Virginia. There is also one in Australia, which, due to the intense heat, they found that bodies left out in the bush would actually start to naturally mummify.
I bet they fucking would.
Well, they learned from that the bodies would then stay preserved for longer.
Oh, so if you're a killer in Australia, it's harder for you then.
Quebec has also opened a body farm, which...
So in Australia, say they've killed someone, dumped the body, they go back 10 years later, the body's still there, like, fucking hell, mate, still there.
You started off Cockney and then went more Aussie as it went on. Yeah. So if there's any Australian killers listen to this...
Throw him on the barbie.
They don't need to because of the extreme heat. Quebec have also opened a body farm, which goes to the other extreme. Minus 30 degree Fahrenheit. There's one in Amsterdam, and the UK are also hoping to open one soon.
See, that would be a good one in the UK, because the climate in somewhere like Scotland compared to Brighton is completely different.
Well, the UK do currently have a facility for studying decomposition of animal remains, and although, yes, this information is helpful, it's not the same as human remains. We also need to know how other factors during life may affect the body after death. Things such as, did a person have X, Y, or Z condition? Did they smoke? Or did they consume drugs or alcohol? How are all or any of these things going to affect the process of decomp?
Hmm. Something funny.
I can tell when you're like, eh, no, I don't believe that. You're like, hmm.
Well, you're telling me, if my last meal is a chicken salad or a pizza, but my decomp will be different.
No, but if you consume... So let's say you are a alcoholic, for example.
I'm not, okay.
But if you were, your liver is going to be doing a lot more work than someone who doesn't consume alcohol.
Yeah.
So how could that affect how the liver is going to decompose?
Okay, like...
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, like, I can see how, like, a healthy heart and a buggered heart... what?
No, you can go on.
It'd have a difference of, like, pumping the blood around and stuff. But no, because once you hack them, the blood stops pumping anyway, so... I don't know how I'd work with organs. Because once they're dead, everything stops. So how does that work? Just grin at me. I'm asking you.
I love it when you go on your little tangent of yes, but no, but maybe. It's so fucking good. Now, like Neil brought up earlier, there has been some opposition to body farms. When the first body farm opened, an organisation called Solutions to Issues of Concern to Knoxvillians. Did you get that? The initials for that?
What was it?
Solutions to Issues of Concern to Knoxvillians.
Go on.
Sick.
Sick?
Yeah, the organisation's initials were sick.
Okay.
So they held up signs outside of the body farm that read, "This makes us sick."
But it fucking does. Can you imagine the stink?
Well, residents did have concerns over odours, visibility, seepage, animals if they were to scavenge body parts, and also worries of diseases from the bodies.
Like, you've got to remember, it's a 15-20 minute walk to sea for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we can be stood in the garden and can smell the salt from the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that's a dead body. No, sorry, 1,000 dead bodies.
Well, I think, you know, of course, it is understandable why a person living nearby might have a few reservations about this.
Mm.
So in regards to diseases, when a person dies, infections die as well. But as an added precaution, workers at the facilities are vaccinated against such things. So you can put your mind at ease with that.
Okay.
To do with animals getting to the bodies, the property is fenced off and the bodies are not just left out completely exposed. They are covered over by cages to stop animals from getting to them. Due to concerns over the odour and visibility of bodies, a privacy fence was erected and they also work within a certain area. So you don't have to worry about the odour. It's not going to travel that far. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
And of course, the body farms are completely closed to the public. They do not do tours and you're not going to be able to accidentally walk through a field and stumble upon one of the bodies.
See, I was going to say, who would go and visit it? But you would. Who would go on a tour there? You would.
Like, obviously you can't because you're going to hinder their investigation and their research.
Yeah.
But if it was a possibility to, I would love to. I think it'd be fascinating.
But that should be a part of it. Because say if someone killed someone and buried them,
mm-hmm,
a foot, 2 foot underground,
yeah,
in a park, people are going to be walking over it. And so they should have some of them where...
Maybe they do.
Just don't tell the public, but it's there.
Well, you can't. I mean, you don't want the public because the public are fucking idiots. But maybe they do have a body... You know, maybe they have a pathway or something and it's like, this is an area where we're going to see how pressure
put
onto the soil, onto the body can affect it.
Here's a Fitbit. 1,000 steps.
I feel like Neil is going to be sending some emails to the Forensic Anthropology Centre and be like, I have a few questions. Have you ever tried this? And they're like, yeah, we did that 15 years ago. And he's like, right, well, I got another one for you. How about this?
I think you need people like me, though, to think outside the box for something like this. Think like a killer.
Jesus. So why are these body farms so important? Although what we may have discussed during this episode would be extremely gruesome if you were to just happen upon a body farm, the work that people do at these facilities is so important and should be supported. Without them, we wouldn't have the knowledge that we have today and will hopefully have in the future. All that they do to aid in scientific development, but also on the side of compassion. Because of what they do, we are able to better identify the deceased and give some level of closure to families, as well as dignity to the previously unidentified. So that's a quick look into body farms. What do you think?
You know what I think.
You see, you seemed a bit more gross when we did the stages of death, but you seem to get a bit more into that one. You were suggesting quite a few different scenarios and variations that could be studied.
Yeah, but I still want to live near one. Like you're saying about the odour and stuff, bollocks. If you live near there, you're smelling it. You can't control smells in the atmosphere. But no, it's interesting, but I think it needs to be a more secure location like Area 51 sort of thing, where it's fucking out in the desert somewhere.
So you're with the Knoxvillians, the sick grouping,
yeah,
organisation.
Kind of, because...
I'm not. I think it's amazing what they're doing, and fair folks, the more power to them. And
it is really good. No, I agree. What they're doing is good.
Yeah.
But you can't have it like next to a cul-de-sac. Or a park. Like
the image of that. It's like left turn, children's playground, right, pot farm. Fucking hell, lads. It's not Sheffield, like.
Wow. But that'd be a good location. Yorkshire Moors. There's enough bodies in different stages of decomp there as it is.
But that's the thing, isn't it, though? Like, the moors would be kind of similar to, like, bog bodies, wouldn't they? With the terrain there. They'd be pretty well preserved, wouldn't they?
I don't know.
But that's a very good point. So, the Yorkshire Moors, so fucking vast.
Yeah.
Would you be okay if in the UK that's where they had a body farm?
Yes.
Okay.
The sheep wouldn't be happy.
No. But can't please everyone.
No.
But you think it's interesting, right?
No, it's very interesting.
Very interesting.
I don't think they'll ever be able to learn enough forensics. No, yeah. I think it's uncapped. Like,
yeah.
Why are you smiling at me like that? Like I'm talking bollocks. But agreeing with me. No, I don't understand. It doesn't You're playing with me, Eddie.
It doesn't apply, but ineffable. I was waiting for you to work that word in.
It's effable.
The final question. Would you donate your body to a body farm?
It'll save you a few bob, wouldn't it?
I mean, for me, I would donate my body, whether it be, you know, organ donation, body farm, whatever, or...
Well, that's another thing. Would I be able to donate, because you want me brain looking at? You've already said that. So can I have my brain took out and all the organs what are still working and then just take the shell of my body to the body farm?
We'll get onto them. We don't have one near enough to us to donate, so...
Because there must be... Because you can have someone... You could have a serial killer who's obsessed with taking all the organs out and then burying the body. So maybe they need to look into just burying the shell.
Again, Neil, you need to start writing a draft of this email you're going to send them. You've so many different scenarios. I'm sure they'll love it. Yeah, I think for me, in terms of if I was to have like a funeral or something, water cremation will be that option. But ultimately, yeah, donate my body. That's...
See, I still want the Viking burial.
Well, why don't you contact the body farm?
See if they'll do it.
Ask, is that any way possible for them to do?
You do it, but you can keep my body after to see what happens to it after the burial.
Yeah, but they have to supply the rowboat to go out and get the body then.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not supplying that.
It's a little dinghy.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Oddity?
Oddity.
Are you familiar with Sepuku?
That's the game, what doesn't make sense, isn't it?
No, that's Sudoku. Or Sudoku, I think some people say.
I don't know. They have it in newspapers and that.
Originating in the 12th century, seppuku is a ritualistic way of ending your life.
Samurais.
Yes.
Yes. I do know this.
Yeah.
They had it in Islander, actually. Who he got the sword off. He did it.
Yeah, so samurais would use this method in order to die an honourable death. It was the ultimate sacrifice and thought to show bravery.
Sorry, do you know what I find fascinating, though? So in Christianity and Catholics and that, if they're to kill themselves, they think by committing suicide, they won't go to heaven. But then in Japan, like with a samurai, to kill themselves, it's with honour.
Mm.
You're dying with honour.
Yeah.
Isn't it mad?
Seppuku, also known in the West as harakiri, is the act of stabbing yourself in the stomach with a blade, which you would then slice upwards in order to inflict a fatal incision.
Yeah, I think it's like an L shape. I think you dig it in, and then you go out and then up.
Mm. Some would allow themselves to slowly bleed out, while others would opt for a kaishikunin. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong. I couldn't find a pronunciation for it.
I know there's a style of karate called kyokushin.
Well, basically, this person would play the role of executioner, essentially. They would be there to decapitate them once they had already sliced into their stomach.
I think they'd also have them stood there in case they lost a bottle.
Mm.
It's like, you're not getting up off your knees.
Yeah, you're not getting out of this.
Yeah, once you go on your knees, you're not getting up.
We're not, I mean, we're all here, lads. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
In the 1400s, seppuku became a punishment for samurais who had committed crimes. By the 19th century, it wasn't really in practice anymore. But there has been a few cases of seppuku since then.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There were soldiers who chose seppuku over surrender during World War II. And Yukio Mishima, an author who had been nominated for the Nobel Prize in Literature multiple times. On the 25th of November, 1970, Yukio went to an army base where he kidnapped the commander and gave a speech to the soldiers. After he had given his speech from the balcony in hopes of inspiring a coup, which didn't seem to be working, he went back inside and died by seppuku.
Do you know what seppuku translates to?
No.
Cut in the belly.
Really?
Yeah.
Yukio once said to his wife, "If I am not immediately understood, it's okay, because I'll be understood by the Japan of 50 or 100 years' time." It's full on, isn't it?
Just a bit.
Mm. Basically tried to start a fucking rebellion, lads. Yeah. Like, come on. So what do you think? You actually were familiar with that one.
Yeah.
So you're happy with that because one. You like that.
Obviously, we already know, but I like me Romans and me Vikings.
You're quite into samurais as well.
I like me samurais and pirates. They're my four main things I'm interested in. So when you covered pirates, it were pirate punishments, not the actual pirates. Which
you're very disappointed with that episode.
I weren't disappointed, but there's a lot of history with pirates. But the only thing is with pirates is, I know we're talking about samurai here, but the only thing with pirates is a lot of it was bullshit. It was stories they made up when they were pissed up.
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole walk the plank thing.
Yeah.
So I included that, but they don't know for sure if that was really a thing or if it was much more the kind of fictionalized side of it, you know?
Yeah. But walking the plank would probably be similar to this because they're making you walk that plank yourself, look down, and you're jumping off.
Yeah.
So maybe.
For all we know, they could have been like pissed up using it as a diving board rather than walk the fucking plank, lads. Yeah. You don't know.
But yeah, no, I did know about this. It's in Highlander.
Well, fuck me.
He stands o'er him with the sword ready and chops his head off to put him out of his misery.
So are you happy that you already knew this or are you raging that you didn't get some new information?
No, it's refreshing to actually know something you're telling me.
Yeah. It's interesting, like, you know, the fact that in 1970, someone died by this method.
Yeah, no, that's a bit worrying.
It's quite a shocking thing. It's quite a sad, whatever was going on in that situation. you know, from looking back, and it's the, you know, said to be an honorable way to die.
Yeah.
Compared to someone who I'm guessing, you know, maybe there was some mental illness at play there.
Yeah. No, definitely.
Just to bring the tone down.
Yeah. At the end.
Mm.
You're supposed to lift it at the end.
What can I say?
See you next week.
I'm a bugger for morbidity. Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.